Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Here. Oh, sing my Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My God reigns. Come on.
Bring it, children.
Look at y'all, look at y'all. It is Wednesday, March the
22nd,
2017.
Come on, lift your hands.
And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studio.
Why y'all ain't facing it?
Right, like you just walked
in. Yo, behind just walked
right, right.
You ain't facing it. Shut up.
Oh, God. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you today. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Ms. Daniel King, alongside my brother in ministry. It is Wisdom Wednesday. I don't know why we put him on Wisdom Wednesday out of all day, but I guess.
Oh, God, dang.
Well, I guess he's been the pastor the longest out of everybody that's in here, so I guess that's probably why you got put in here on Wisdom Wednesday.
That that's
the only day he got off.
Yeah,
the good cardinal over the ether waves. Bernard Henderson, how are you, sir?
God bless your bones. We're doing fine. We're a little tired alive about it. We just flew in last night. You know, listen, the older you become, you have to be careful with this traveling.
We can talk about that because you are correct.
You are
absolutely correct. But anyway, y'all, let me give you the rundown of what we're going to be doing today. Look, it's Wisdom Wednesday. Here's today's article, right? Watch this. Bigness is overrated. Bigness. Is that like a Donald Trump word?
Right.
What's the word he used?
Anti-Semitic.
Huge. What's the word he used? Bigly.
Bigly.
Bigly. Bigly. That's it. Bigly.
Bigly.
Bigness is overrated. And then also it's included in this article. It's plus 9 hard church leadership lessons. This is going to be good. But bigness is overrated.
Bigness. Now, you know, listen.
I let go a whole lot of weight.
Saints, come on.
Bigness.
Saints, put your hands. Whatever device you
right,
have right
me.
Now.
Bigness
and listen,
is
and
overrated.
I hear some of you talking, and you better catch your mouth before I call your name. Now clap your hands. Clap your hands. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
This is going to be good.
King.
Yeah, I know, right? Bigness is overrated, plus 9 hard church leadership. I'm going to stop saying the title. Plus 9 hard church hardship lessons.
Glory. Tanya, he did.
Let me give y'all the rundown.
Oh, man, that's his name tonight.
You know what?
Oh, my.
I'm going to give you all the rundown of how you can be a part today. So if you've already dialed in, listening to us already via your mobile device, just push 1 and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. I'm afraid to even start reading them comments over there. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, it's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there.
I don't see us.
If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Thank you. You can tweet the show @TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show @TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to follow us, the live streams are up and running. Go to your Facebook page. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. You can find us. Email the show. Email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can find us right there. And last but not least, the podcast. You can download today's podcast and any other episode of our show by simply going to your iTunes account, going to the podcast section, doing a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You will find us there. The good card. You have a problem on your phone, man? You can't find them.
Now, you know what? And my niece asked me something.
Okay.
She said, it is the Taking the Limits Off radio with Dana and Devon.
Where's Devon? Who is Devon, right?
That's Devon. I get that
quite often.
Yeah, Devon is working a full-time job.
Wait a minute, no, the funny part is somebody wrote in the comments the other day, me and Parks is in here. You and Devon is so funny.
Trying to get it on. The, okay, here we go. Yeah. Oh, all right, there we be.
Okay, yeah.
Let me get on here. Let me turn it down. You didn't share it with me. That's what happened.
I did. You tagged you in it. I didn't have to share it with you. You're tagged in
it ought to pop up on the.
Well, your stuff ain't. You know that's your stuff
over
there.
You gonna lose hip out either.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know.
Now listen, while we're on here, listen. It was 10 years ago. That we put our bishop to rest. And that's Bishop G.E. Patterson.
What is today the 10-year anniversary?
Post office box.
Why didn't you tell me that earlier? I would have downloaded some clips, man. I would have been ready. I didn't know.
Listen.
You got to let me know that kind of
listen,
stuff.
Listen, children. I don't care what you all say. Now, no offense to things that come on television. But, you know, those were preachers that made you get up in the morning to get ready for church.
Look, could nobody get you, couldn't get you ready for church like Gilbert Earle.
And that Apostle Hinton. Listen, children, forget about Bobby Jones, man. Forget about him.
No.
But you're talking about church in the morning, it would be, in the words of my mama, G.C. Patterson. And then she would call him, the man of Michael with the shoe polish in the middle of his head.
Oh, Lord.
Mama, who you talking about? Mm-mm. You know him. He over there on Chapel Street. But they were, oh, R.D.
Oh, God.
See, man.
You know what? Now, the funny part was, when he first started putting that, was it shoe? What was the stuff he? What was it? Brill? It wasn't Brill cream. What was the stuff?
Something
he was using in his head.
Because he had like a bob. It was
yeah. And you didn't know it until when he started sweating, and he had that white handkerchief.
Yes, sir.
And he wiped across here, and all of a sudden you see the.
But then he found something that would stick there for a minute. Yeah.
But then he found the toupee.
Did he find a toupee? Yeah. No, he got the implants. Remember?
No, that was a toupee. What?
You remember he had the implant?
No, he had on a full wig. I don't remember no him.
Listen, y'all was talking about my
look, Apostle R.D. Hinton. But Gilbert Earle Patterson.
Come on, where's Kim Tony? Who's that?
Who what?
Yes, who is Devon?
Y'all
who is Devon?
Y'all need to stop.
Yeah, but now listen, G. Patterson, that's Gilbert Earle Patterson, Post Office Box 1. Memphis, Tennessee. Listen, children. I had the privilege, thank the Lord, because he had two locations in Memphis. I had the privilege of living down the street from his 8 o'clock location.
Okay.
And I used to pastor on one church on 1st and 3rd, and 2 on 2nd and 4th.
Okay.
Well, listen, I would go down the street to hear him at 8. And I want you to know that 8 o'clock service was just as packed as 11 o'clock service.
Uh huh.
Because we would be in the balcony in chairs at the 8 o'clock service.
Really?
Oh, yes, sir.
Really?
Yes. Now, the church is made like in a moon shape, I'm trying to think about.
Like a U.
Yeah, like a U.
Yeah.
The whole church was like a U.
Uh-huh.
And I know we had to give everybody a bit of 1,200 people there.
Wow.
But 12 people.
This is Gilbert Earle Patterson Church.
Yeah, it was 8 o'clock, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the pastors would come to get their fill-in on Sunday morning and then go preach.
And go preach.
There'd be a whole row of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just rows and rows. And ooh, he was preaching, Lord, get goosebumps. Yeah!
Yeah,
y'all know he didn't take him long to get in there.
No. And you know what? He didn't preach long.
Never.
He might have preached 20 minutes.
Yes, sir.
If that. He gave you, he gave you scripture.
Yes.
He gave you background.
Yes.
Then he gave you context.
Yes.
Then he gave you application. And all in 20 minutes.
And he would tell us, y'all gonna make me preach it. Yes, sir! And by the time he got through, all you saw was us doing the right thing. Yes, you trying to be a man. Yes, Lord. Yes, the best I can do. By the time he opened the door of the church, he's going out so he can go to the next. Listen, children, that's called good preaching. Listen, our fellow brother's getting ready to preach now over at Greater Rock, Fort James Church.
Okay, I think it's Greater Rock. Yeah,
God, he's preaching today for something they're having.
Okay, that tonight or
right now?
Oh, this afternoon.
Oh, right now.
What, they in conference or something?
Wait a minute. Yes, y'all really going in on RD? Listen, you gonna talk, Felicia? That's my pastor. God bless you, beloved. This is Apostle Hinton. Yes,
look,
Lord.
That was my R.D. Hinton. See, my great grandmother didn't know nothing about Gilbert Earle. Because, see, you, first of all, you had that cable to get Gilbert Earle.
Right.
So you had that cable to get Gilbert Earle.
In the green church.
When you you just had regular TV, you got R.D. Hinton.
Yes, sir.
And my great grandmama, bless her heart, he was known as R.D. Hennessy. She tore up every name. She said, boy, come here and turn the TV to Hennessy.
Yes, sir, baby.
Hennessy finna come on. I can't make it in church today. Turn on Hennessy.
And you would hear,
turn on.
Well, you're down on your knees praying. Yes, sir.
Christ
is the answer. Bum, 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 yes, sir. Trust my Lord, today he'll make a way. Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
And he would get up, and the fellow would get up. Those who hear these things of mine shall abide. Come on, and lift up your hands for our pastor, evangelist, Richard Daniel Hinton. God bless you, Apostle Washington Wickley. Yes, sir.
You need some help.
Listen, you got that on Sunday, but on Saturday you would get. Christians and friends, you're into the broadcast of the Fellowship Baptist Church. So if you place the person of you, and you have one another, wherever they live, and our family pastor, it says that for the sick and in bereaved, confined, distressed, and all the most of the Lord, we trust and pray. Listen.
Who remembers all of that but
pray.
You?
Who remembers
everybody?
Who forward in the faith?
Who remembers everybody opening but you?
Listen. And then you give scripture lesson, Reverend Ulysses Wright. Oh, give thanks! Until the Lord!
You need so much help.
And at 11 o'clock, you will get the awakening hour by Liberty.
Wait a minute. Somebody posted the other day. One of the listeners, Faith, was with somebody from Awakenings, and she posted a picture. And
really?
And all I could type on her on the comments was, "Take the seat!
Take the seat!"
The Awakenings, man. The Awakenings was like the really first black soap opera.
Yeah, it really, really was.
It really was. And on public access TV.
Yes, it was. I mean,
ain't nobody getting paid. Right.
I mean, and then because that made the youth, that made us watch.
Yes, it did.
Stayed up to watch
it
that.
It did. It really
and
did.
And they used to have skate parties and all that kind of stuff.
Man. Who's that dude? That's Johnny. That wasn't Johnny. Who's Liberty Church? Who's
that was Clifford, Apostle Clifford Turner.
Yeah, okay.
His wife died.
Okay, yeah.
Wife died, so.
Wow.
Again, you'll have to share that with me because my phone ain't like, you know, with these iPhones, not phone, iPhones,
uh-huh.
You got to do something.
I got to share what with you.
We are sharing this here broadcast.
Why you can't see it on your.
This is a telecast.
Go into your, it probably needs to be approved. You probably go click on your own profile. While you in there on your profile, right?
On
and then you see anything down there that says pending approval? You see anything down there?
I don't see
pending post pending approval.
I don't see no bitch here.
Okay, I don't know. Anyway, we go get it together. We go get it together. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Look at y'all.
A bishop. Woo.
You know what? You just was he. Do we need to call some help for you?
Lord Jesus, call the nurses. Lord have mercy.
Oh God. Do you have nurses over at the
Yeah, we're redoing the whole thing, but yeah.
I shouldn't ask you no questions.
Okay, here we is. Here we go. Let me get on this helm. They're on the ether wave. Let me turn it down.
Thank you. Bless you.
Let me hit my everything. Yeah,
Where is it's your secretary's birthday today?
Candace,
you don't even know. Lord have mercy. I saw it on Facebook. Now, how you don't help us, Lord?
I have been on Facebook this morning.
But this is your people's. You supposed to know these.
You know, I got 1,000 members.
This is, as you like to tell me, she's not the church secretary. She's your secretary.
She really is.
Well, you.
She really is. That's the truth.
Paulette Brown said, I'm waiting for Pastor Parr. Pastor Parr is handling some business at his church. He will be here a little shortly. He'll be here shortly. Y'all come on in. Don't act like you. Oh, so what you trying to say, Paul? That you can't listen and watch the show. If Pastor Pods ain't here, it'll make me feel some kind of way.
You know that's how to preach the people's out when the pastor ain't here.
I ain't coming.
I ain't gonna be participating in that.
That's why folks don't tell people when the pastor ain't gonna be there no more.
That's the truth. The Lord knows if they tell him that they're preaching up. Okay.
Yeah. That's going visiting day.
Yeah.
Right. That's
going on. Especially on Fifth Sunday. Yeah, Lord, we going somewhere else on Fifth Sunday.
Well, fifth Sunday is National Visit Day. I think churches should expect that their own houses should be somewhat empty on fifth Sunday.
Well, not necessarily, because if the visitors come, it'd be all right.
But they don't. Yeah, well, yeah, you look. You know what kind of church you got if on fifth Sundays you don't get no visit.
You're like, oh my goodness, what kind of I'm a child at fifth Sunday. We gonna go over here and hear out. And then you get up there, I'm not preaching today. Like, what did we come for then?
Oh, yeah. Fifth Sunday is normally Associate Sunday, too.
Yeah, that's, I mean, seriously, because that's what I'm trying to do. Because I know that, because I have a member right now who would tell me, now, Pastor, if I would have known they were preaching, I would have been here. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's how we do, though.
That is how we do. Sister McCurtis, God bless your bones.
You ain't been here, so you weren't here last Wednesday. Let me give you all the background on some information.
Background scripture.
So you know, I don't know if you guys might have missed this early on. Last year. The good cardinal. I'm always invited over to the McCurtis household. Good friends of the show, silent partner in the show. Marissa, I ain't mad at you. They invited me over for oxtails.
Yes.
And they had sent the good cardinal some oxtails, but he didn't show up at the studio that day.
Yeah, I had, you know.
And then we was right there down at the bowling alley on Wednesday. He didn't come down that way either. So his oxtails, let's just say they didn't make it.
Got it.
Yes, I posted it all on Facebook for the world to see. So then, the most recently, the good deacon, bless his heart, he has so much pain. Y'all pray for the deacon.
Yes, the
good deacon said, look here, man, I need you to reach out to the cardinal and invite him over to my house for some oxtail.
Yeah.
So the good cardinal was it'd make 2 weeks this coming Sunday.
Uh-huh.
We went over there after church service.
Now, mind you, listen now, because my service was over.
Right.
And I had to run to 79th Street.
For
I left 79th, no, 80th.
Uh-huh.
And whatever street that is. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And I grew.
Yeah, uh-huh.
With rapidity.
Uh-huh.
Over to this side of town.
Uh-huh.
For the oxtail ministry.
And you were going to be there ministry. At 3:30. You got there. I was kind of shocked how quick you got there.
Oh, yeah, because there was food involved. I was hungry.
Now, see, I couldn't share this with y'all because he wasn't here. But now he's here, I'm going to share this. So let me tell y'all about how the good cardinal act when he get to people's house. So the man come, mind you, he ain't never been there before. He ain't never darkened the door, ain't never been in the folk house, not one time.
Oh, well.
So who opened the door for you? Sister McCurtis, right?
McCurtis said, yeah.
Sister McCurtis come open the door for you. Bless your heart, Sister McCurtis.
God,
I know you're probably watching on Ustream right now.
In the words of the Sable Singers, let's do it again.
So he comes in. She comes in. So now, mind you, she had surprise guests because her son and grandchildren all in his tribe.
And
his tribe.
Listen, y'all, trust me. He got a piano player. An organ player.
He got the whole ensemble. A keyboard
drummer,
player.
And a bass.
So they came in, and his wife, of course. So they were all there.
God bless her heart. Bless you, man.
Jennifer, right.
Yeah.
So we're there, and so she comes in. So she's trying to introduce him to the people in the room. His eyes ain't never looked up, made no eye contact with nobody. Why? Because the food was on the table. He says, she says, this is my son, Sean. He ain't never looked up. He go, how you doing, son? This is his wife. Hey, wife. This is the grandchildren. Hey, children. I mean, he focused strictly on the trough of oxtail.
But that was to my immediate left.
Right.
And the fried chicken meat was to my right.
Right, the fried chicken meat. Uh-huh.
That was in betwixt there was the green and the corned bread and sweetened potatoes.
Uh-huh. And what was behind you?
Behind me was pasted cobbler and pounded in cake. You what y'all talking about? I can't eat. And rice. You what y'all talking about?
Right.
I woke up this morning with my
Now,
man.
Y'all would think that this pastor here had recently just got out of the penitentiary located somewhere. Y'all remember the scene from, y'all ever saw the movie Life with Martin and Eddie Murphy and Bernie Mac and all them? And when they was in the place eating their food and how, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to take y'all way back. Y'all remember the movie Stripes with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor?
Right, Lord have mercy.
When
back, didn't
you? Yeah, I did. When the big dude was eating his food and he kind of had his arm around it, Bruh Man here act like somebody was going to take his food from him.
Not children.
Because he had food, first of all.
Ain't nobody comment. We got to go back to this.
That's you strain. I was trying to see if Sister McCurtis was going to say something. Yeah. Let's go back over here. I'm listening.
Because listen, children. Listen, for those of you in this room tonight that know about oxtail, you don't get them that often. If I got a witness in here. So when you get them, glory to God, you don't want nobody retching their hand over in your plate. Now, mind you, Dana had eaten about 5 oxes already. I ate 6. They had to move the bones out of the plate. I felt the dog was going to be happy.
So he stacks this first plate up. And when I tell y'all stack, there was you didn't need. I'm going to tell you how stacked the plate was. We don't even know what color the plate was because the plate was covered in all of this deliciousness.
That's what Lucretia Campbell said. I'm covered in the safety of God.
So then, after he done killed the 3 oxes that was on his plate at the time, he asked Sister McCurdy, he said, look here, my dear, can I ask you a favor? Can you move these bones? Because these dry bones can't live no more.
They can't live no more, baby. The sinews.
So I can.
Hold on. You know about oxtails? You know how they cut them and even outside of them got nice little.
Yeah, little residue. But nothing left on there. He said, could you throw these bones out so I can get more?
Dwell in his safety.
And then made a whole nother second plate.
So I sure did. And what?
I can't. You went all the way.
And listen, we must do it again. Listen, Marissa said, I'm a witness. I love oxtails. And Muddy had some bay leaf in there and some
gold. Oh, God.
I mean, listen, that's good gravy.
Oh, God. We're going to take a quick break.
We'll be right back.
Oh, God. We are sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty, but we are back. We are back live. Should be back live everywhere. I'm waiting on my producer to get back to me on that.
Let y'all give us some emoji or something.
But I know we good over there. Okay, we good on the streams. But the stream ain't, you know, that ain't the part that counts. Let me know. Make sure we're good. We should be good. I'm gonna wait for her to let me know.
Yeah.
We could build. But anyway, so man, real quick, I don't know if you guys know this or not. There was a terrorist attack in what appears to be a terrorist attack in England, London.
Yeah.
Right near downtown London. Yeah. Right near where Parliament meets at. And definitely want to keep them in our prayers. The number of dead is already more than 10, I believe. And
wow.
There was somebody stabbed. There was cars used as weapons, and they're not they don't know if it was the same person who drove the car that then got out and started stabbing and possibly shooting people. So
what's wrong with the people? Jesus,
man, right. Yeah, it's that time. But I do want to talk about this one thing, and then we can move on. There was a story in the news yesterday about a 15-year-old girl who was missing. A student at Lane Tech, I believe, and
this morning about her being,
and she was raped by 4 to 5 guys on Facebook Live. I'm gonna just let that marinate for a minute before I go any further.
You know, and I know this sounds kind of horrible. Y'all have to forgive me, but they need to be raped on Facebook Live. I mean, come on now. Really, children?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just taking it so far because I saw it this morning on the news. Hello, Yolanda King.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it this morning on the news and I was horrified. I mean, seriously, you all, because, you know, recently someone got shot and they had it on Facebook Live.
Yeah. Somebody was out recording already and then got shot while he was recording him. He was out doing it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I must do this, and because they had it on Channel 9 News, and I want to thank whoever the young man was who was saying anything, first of all, I want to thank him because he talked as if he knew exactly. He said it's going on with some kind of boys, some kind of group or something or another.
Mm-hmm.
He said every time you mention this group, they get horrified.
Mm-hmm.
They need some blessed assurance whooping. Some Ash Wednesday whooping. Yeah, that's all. Because you think you're big and bad. There's always a Negro out there that's big and badder than you. But anyway, we go.
Yeah. The part that really disturbs me was they said that over 40 people watched it and nobody called the police.
Nothing.
And now, you know, it just shows you the time that we're living in, that this can happen live.
Yes.
Because this is what's, unfortunately, this is what's been portrayed. This is what's been put out there. Folks don't know if it's a joke, if it's real. But at some point, and I'm glad the video was taken down. I did not see it, nor do I want to see it. Nor do I want to see it. But the fact that here is a 15-year-old child being pretty much gang raped on Facebook, and nobody said anything. Now, what I wish they could do, because they know who watched it. They know who watched it. Is go knock and because here this is how you can fix some of this. You probably can't prosecute them, but see, I guarantee you, mama and daddy don't know what them kids was watching.
Exactly.
Show up at their door
and say him
and knock and say your child was watching this.
Yes.
On Facebook Live. Are you aware that your child show up at the school where they go to? Because see, one thing about Facebook, I'm gonna tell y'all this right now. Those of you watching this broadcast right now, they know what you watch.
Yes.
I see some of y'all. If you're friends of mine, I can see y'all. That's why I'm able to read your names. Your names pop up when you click in on the thing. They know who you are. It stays in the history.
Yes.
I wish they would go knock on the doors of the kids and adults. Because watch this. If it was an adult, if I'm not mistaken, that would be considered kiddie porn. You should be locked up too. You should be locked up too.
Hello, Lucian Ward and Omar. Omar, dude. All right, all my friends.
Daryl, President.
Diaz president. Yeah, that's what that is.
Says, Doc, you need to be on Dancing with the Bishops. So yeah, I am just it just irks me, man. It really does.
And I think I guess the world because of social media, what have you. And I believe now I'm talking to somebody earlier today, and I was telling them how people didn't understand. And I'm not talking about and I want you all to hear me about the institution of church, not just so much as church. I mean, maybe the institution of church, because church taught us something, and I'm going beyond about Jesus and all this kind of stuff. Church taught us, first of all, to be mindful of everybody else around us, made us more well-rounded because they made us say those God-awful Easter speeches, made us participate in things to make us to the point that we were more credible people. There were people in the church who cared about us that when they saw us going astray or being mouthy or something like that, they told us, hey, you can do better with that. I'm running into people now because they did not take their children to church. They are so half-mooned, for lack of better term. Trump can make it up. I can make it up.
Too. Okay.
They're not all well-roundedly. And you can tell a child that has grown up in some kind of faith community environment. You can tell people that because there are just something, because this is why some people don't know how to go to a concert or nothing, because they've never had to sit in church for a little while. When you sit up in church, you learn how to pay attention to what's going on. But now we have children that when they're sitting down, they're on these devices.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing else. Hey, Chad Foster. Come on. And where is the faith community when this is going on? Because somebody should have said, "Hey, what the hell is this?"
But you know what? It's twofold. We get criticized for blaming the church. In this instance, you can't really blame the church because it goes back to the parents.
Yes.
You know, and you see it now. You see it now. I see it on Sundays when I'm here. I'm sure you see it. Parents bring their kids to church. The parent is sitting there paying attention. The kid is on a tablet or a pad.
Yes.
A tablet, a iPad, or on the parent's phone.
Yes.
So here is the deal. At least when you weren't doing that, you were at least absorbing a little bit of this. And a little bit of that. You heard certain things. You were at least watching. Even if you weren't paying attention, you were watching and you were seeing how to behave. Now kids come in. You see kids now in the sanctuary with headphones on.
Yes. And I think that's a debauchery.
It really is. It really is. Because if your child, let me say this, if your child has to come to church, put on a pair of headphones, and plug into a tablet or a phone in order for you to enjoy church, there's nothing. The problem is with you, the adult.
I agree.
The problem is with you, the adult. Because for one, what is your child doing? I understand you can say, well, they don't have a youth church, and they may not have this, or they may not have that. But I got some issue with you.
Thank you.
Back. You like that song, huh?
That's
church music. Church.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have it put something, you know.
So anyway, man, and the last little news piece I want to talk about real quick is tomorrow the House is supposed to be voting on this new medical Affordable Care Act, or Trump Care, as it's being called.
Trump Care.
Yeah, they're supposed to be voting on that tomorrow. And apparently you got about 20-something Republican congressmen saying, we don't like this.
They said what?
Yeah, you got a bunch of them saying we ain't down for this, we ain't voting for it.
And of course, you know the Democrats ain't voting for it.
Democrats ain't voting for it at all. And supposedly all it takes is 20 Republicans to vote no, and this thing dies on the floor.
Yeah, and I agree with it dying on the floor.
Yeah,
I mean, because some of the things that he's talking about, like right now, I'm having to go right now to the special place in LaGrange because something happened with my insurance. And so I got to have some kind of coverage.
I remember you said something happened where it looked like it lapsed or something where they didn't find it.
You can't be enrolled until
right.
You know, the end of the year.
Right.
I know God's a keeper, but, you know, just in case. You know. Come on now. So, and then I have sinus trouble and the tree's about to bloom. And, tree's about to bloom. Yeah. Mind you now, because I traveled. I left Monday morning and went to class in Atlanta. When I tell you it was 86 degrees in Atlanta yesterday.
Yeah, so how is the doctorate program coming, sir?
The trees bloom.
You know what?
You know what?
You're supposed to be encouraging me, and I'm asking you, and you're telling me about the trees blooming.
What has to be a realization is, number one, is that I can't do no work at home. I have to go to the library or go away to do.
So you're not able to, you can't.
Because, you know, when you're at home, you can find 8-11 things to do in your head. So I need to take a whole week and just write.
Okay.
So that's where I am. I'm writing my prospectus.
Okay.
I'm writing my proposal because we got a comprehensive exam next month.
Okay.
So I've met with the people I need to meet with. And, you know, we've been talking this and the other, but just need to sit down. Matter of fact, I need to have something in by this weekend.
Okay.
So it's going pretty good, though.
Okay.
It's going pretty good.
Okay.
And the Lord has been kind to me about paying out of my pocket. Y'all pray for the pastor. When I finish, I've been paid almost $20,000 out of my pocket.
Yeah, yeah. It is pricey.
Yeah.
Even
though some folk, you know, got scholarship, you know. By the way, to all of my brothers out there, you know, we had a regional meeting this
week. I saw the pictures of,
yeah,
you know, y'all doing the whole
acting crazy.
Yeah, Essence and Snakes and Cobras.
Essence and Oak. And then
I wanted to ask you, because you weren't here when we had the discussion.
Yes.
You have access to Netflix? Yes? No?
Yes.
Have you watched Burning Sands?
Listen, I have not, but everybody keeps saying they just...
Go ahead and watch it.
They told too much.
Go ahead and watch it.
I believe they did.
Go ahead and watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it.
I'm just telling you.
I'll watch it.
We had it. It got a little deep in here. I'll say this, and I know we talked about it before. At one point, I turned it off.
You just tell too much.
Well, no, it messed with my head.
Take me back.
Yeah. So, you know, and now you were a graduate pledgee.
Yeah, no, I started.
You started
undergrad.
Yes. But then you went back.
I rearranged my attitude.
Right.
You know, when they were talking about you had to choose between church and here.
Right.
All right, then be sweet.
Okay.
So there's some things that I still remember.
Okay, yeah.
And there's some things you still can equate.
Yeah, definitely. I will say this again. We're not going to bring the subject up again, but definitely watch. Watch it. It'll be an hour. It's an hour and 40 minutes worth. It's an awesome documentary,
okay.
And it's one of those things where, and I didn't say this before. I think if you have children that are getting ready to go to college, and they're thinking about pledging. I think it's something that you should let them watch, or you should encourage them to watch.
It has changed so much.
It has.
The IMDb program.
It has.
But then, with some things, I'll watch it the next time. The older you get, the more when you travel, you have to get some rest. I don't care if you're on plane, train, automobile.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to sit down for just a minute.
Yeah, I was having this conversation a while back, And I am the king of road trips. I love road trips. I will drive anywhere. And it's not that I don't like flying. That's not it. I like being on the road.
Scenery,
I like the scenery. I like doing all that.
Picking up stuff.
Right.
You know
yeah. and
I had to pack stuff doubly when I came back and I picked
right.
up stuff. Yeah.
So doing a lot of driving. I used to drive in and out when I was working at Chase and I was coming back and forth to Chicago. I would drive from Ohio or Iowa, depending on where they had me at, every weekend. And I was driving, and I mean just hitting every weekend so I could be at church Sunday morning.
Yes.
And that was the norm for me.
Yeah. But
and it didn't bother me at all.
We were younger.
Now, we talking, this was in 2005
yeah.
and 6.
It was 10.
Right. I was 35 and 36 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It,
yeah
all that driving now.
I would hop from Atlanta to Memphis.
Oh,
in
yeah.
In a day. And then
oh, it was nothing to drive to Atlanta.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Nothing. That little 10 hours?
Yeah,
no.
And come on. Baby, now I got the rest in between. You know what I'm saying?
And see, that's my problem. I don't believe in resting. I stop my car. Look, I stop my car when it asks for gas.
Now, I agree with that. But now I got to walk around and shake a little bit.
Yeah, well, I do that. The gas. See, people don't. I've been on road trips with people, and they go, we ain't going with him because he don't like to stop.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Because, wait, every time somebody folks see a restaurant or something, can we stop? No.
That makes it longer.
They go a mile over there. No.
I agree with that. I agree with that 150%.
No, because I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, I'm that way too. When we stop for gas, you better listen. Everybody have an eatery there,
right?
A peery there, a diary there, a story there. Cause I ain't stopping unless we're going to Boomland. Oh, we're going to Memphis. We're stopping, but you got to just stop at Boomland.
I never heard of Boomland.
Cause you ain't never driven from here to Memphis, have you?
Yeah, but I didn't know nothing about Boomland.
Yeah, so we got to stop at
Boomland. I was in Tennessee 2 years ago, and yeah. I ain't know nothing about Boomland.
Yeah,
I ain't never.
Just like you have to stop at when you're in.
Boomland is it's just a store that sells everything.
Yeah, sells everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Then you have when you're going up 95 on South Carolina, you got to stop by the south of the border.
Okay.
So there are certain places you just have to stop when you know going someplace. Now I ain't talking about stopping here. Oh, we gonna get some tacos. No. There's just places you have to stop. Now listen. Right, because if you're going from here to Memphis, you got to stop at Boomland. If you're going from here, I ain't know where to start when you're going from here to South Carolina. You know what I mean?
Wait, we got an email. Priscilla says, I had to leave my desk because coworkers are asking me if I was all right because she's laughing at you. She must have just. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. <what I'm>
I just saw this email. It was sent at 12:30. So, yeah, she was laughing about this.
Listen, I want y'all to know there was some good food. You hear what I'm saying?
Anyway, y'all, we're going to jump into today's conversation, and it should be good. It's going to be good. Today's conversation, I'm going to read it one time. Bigness is overrated. plus 9 hard church leadership lessons. That's why you over there choking.
Read.
Article. So this is going to be good. We're going to jump right into it. Hopefully Pastor Parks is okay. We have not heard from him, so I'm going to check. Tanya, can you do me a favor? Check on Parks. Make sure everything all right. I know he said he was coming, but stuff happens. So if you could do me that favor, make sure he all good. Okay. All right. So let's jump on into today's conversation.
Same
again,
way.
If you haven't hit the share button, please do so, because this is good. This is going to be good. The writer, the article again, Bigness is Overrated, plus 9 Hard Church Leadership Lessons. This is what the writer says. He says, this is not the final list. I'm still learning. That's what he says. He says, most of what follows about leading God's church is counterintuitive, which is to say it's not what one might expect. In no particular order, he says, it does not matter to the Lord whether he saves by a few or the many, using 1 Samuel 14:6.
That's number one. Business is overrated.
Yeah. Oh, that is number one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because this video is playing in my face talking about empire. What is this right here? Thank you. See, now it disappeared. So number one says, bigness is overrated. Go ahead, sir. Read.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Why are you trying to read ahead?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't want to be embarrassed on either way. It doesn't matter to the Lord whether he saves by a few or many. That's 1 Samuel mm-hmm. chapter 14, verse 6. most pastors, it would appear, have wanted to lead big churches,
mm-hmm.
wanted to grow their church to be huge, or wanted to move to a large church. Their motives may be pure. Judging motives is outside my skill set, of course. But pastoring a big church can be the hardest thing you will ever try, and far less satisfying than you would ever think.
Mm.
Small churches can be healthy, too. I agree. Behold the hummingbird or the honeybee.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get a huge church to change its way of thinking can be like turning around an ocean liner. Even so, the Lord teaches about the mustard seed. See Matthew and Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 32, and Luke 17 and 6. Should forever
disabuse.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Disabuse us from the lust of bigness.
Mm-hmm.
I will spare you the horror stories of pastors who have manipulated God's people and lied about numbers in order to create an illusion of bigness. Forgive us, Father.
Wow. Let me ask this question.
Sure.
I guess here's the deal. Nobody wants to preach to an empty sanctuary.
Nobody.
So I want to look at it from two points. So from a spiritual side, but from a humanistic side.
Sure.
It is somewhat disheartening if you get up to stand in front of your church, stand behind the pulpit of your church, or even sing at your church, whatever function you do. And let's say you have a church. How many does your church hold? Is it five?
I think about four or five.
About 400 or 500.
Yeah.
So to stand up in front of a sanctuary that holds 400 or 500 people, and there are 40 people in the room.
That's very disheartening.
It is.
And believe it or not.
And the human side of you feels some kind of way.
Yeah. And it's because it may be one of them Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, that, and I don't make any excuses. When people come to visit me, that's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is disheartening. And then you know you have plenty of members.
Yeah.
Right. Second Baptist has enough members, active members,
mm-hmm.
I know, to fill up the main floor.
Okay, wow.
I know that.
Wow.
I've seen Second Baptist 3/4 full since I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's people that take, and I know a whole lot of stuff is going on Sundays. But, I mean, when I don't see you, even my niece, when I don't see you, I mean, come on now. I know you work, I know you're tired, but
right.
I mean, service ain't but between 75 and 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, they say, well, how many people you got, Doc? Well, it depends on what Sunday it is. Between 80 and 125.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for them.
Now, I, and again, we were talking about the human side of it, because nobody wants to. It's no different than I'll change the setting. Let's say you owned a restaurant,
right?
And your restaurant had 35 tables,
mm-hmm.
and the day you get to work and open up your restaurant, and only 10 of those tables are used,
yeah.
all day,
yeah.
you're going to feel some kind of way.
Yes.
So, and now again, I'm not, at the end of this, he's talking about pastors manipulating numbers and stuff, and I'm not down with that at all. I think that's just foolery.
Yeah.
But you do want to draw people in, because you feel like as a minister, as a preacher, you want to preach to as many people as you possibly can.
Yes.
And especially those, now watch this. I would rather, now this is just me, I would rather have, you know, if I had 150 members and only 50 of my folks showed up, if the other 100 was folk that was not saved, I'm just fine with that. Because I would rather be preaching to the unchurched anyway.
Yes.
I mean, let the truth be told.
Right.
Let the truth be told. That's who we should be preaching to, is the unchurched. And hope
some of the church is unchurched.
Well, yeah, that's another conversation. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let's go. Number two says this. Lack of formal education in the preacher is no excuse. Uh-oh. He says, the pastor of a small church often has far less formal training and education than he would like. As a result, he often feels inferior to his colleagues with seminary degrees. I have two thoughts on that. One, it's a mistake. He can be as smart as they are and more if he applies himself. Let the Lord's preachers not be overly impressed by certificates on the wall or titles before their name. My God, bless you. Two, he says, he can get more formal education if he's willing.
Right.
Some of our seminaries have online programs that make seminary education practical and affordable.
Yes, sir.
He says, my dad, a coal miner, had to leave school after the seventh grade, but he never quit learning. He took courses and read constantly. When God took him to heaven, Dad was almost 96. Our mom had to cancel 4 or 5 magazine subscriptions. He was still taking and reading. Some of the finest preachers of God's word I've ever known have had little formal theological education.
Now, I agree with that. I agree with that in totality. Because there are some preachers I know who were not. Because, see, with seminaries, some of us were blessed to take off and go to seminary and go to the school. But then there are those who could not do so. And I appreciate them. Clay Evans even tells you that he really CBI and things of that nature.
Right.
But his practicality, but it was never thrusted upon us. You got to call me doctor either.
Yeah.
It was never and believe it or not, I remember when I was pastoring in the rural, smaller church,
mm-hmm.
and people would look and like, I mean, so you went to school. Well, what you doing here? Well,
this
is my training ground. And believe it or not, if the truth be told, I would take a strong rural church over a big city church any day.
You're saying something. I want to get to one of the comments. Pastor Wayne Hudson says,
"Hey Wayne,
what do you do when the church is unchurched?"
That's a loaded question.
Oh my God,
that's a loaded.
That's a loaded question.
I mean, this is, and I was watching a clip of CD Jakes today. He was saying, "You want the sex, but no commitment."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want all of this, but no commitment, and that's what's going on with us in church.
Mm-hmm.
So this group wants all of the benefits, but don't want to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to shout, but don't know what we shout with having empty shouts.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I appreciate about any pastor that is worth their weight in salt, that takes the time, even with no degrees on the wall, but takes the time to read, study, do background about it. I mean, come on, give me something. Let's not get up there with gravy. Give me something.
Yeah.
Because the late Dr. Frederick Sampson, pastor in Detroit, said you can always glean from somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think preachers, I don't even want to say preachers, leaders in church do themselves a disservice by not reading. That's why I like that part of the story that this young man was talking about his father, who left school at 7th grade but continued to read and had read magazines, read articles, and that's why I had somebody say this to someone, mention it about why they didn't come to Bible study, and they said the reason they didn't come to Bible study was because, well, I don't want to be taught from no book. I only want to be taught from the Bible.
Hey, you know what? I think that's what I have the same stoic people.
Right.
That, you know, if it ain't Bible,
the book is Bible based. That if you're teaching from a Bible based book, then what? You know what I mean? It's just foolishness. But what it really is an excuse.
Yes.
Because here's the deal. If you turn around and say, guess what, y'all? We teaching from the Bible all next month. I'm going to be looking for you.
Yes.
I'm going to be looking for you. Right. Cynthia E. Finister?
Yeah.
What version are you reading from? We were reading an article, and the article was quoting a particular scripture. It wasn't a particular version of scripture. So everything, no, we're not. I don't want you to be confused and think we like making up some stuff. So, no, what that particular. Yes, sir. Yeah, y'all, a little bit of Adrian B. King. Well done. We are back. We are back. We're going to continue the conversation. 9 hard church leadership lessons. Bigness is overrated.
All right.
Number 3. Hit it, Doc. Go ahead. What you got?
There are no lone rangers or solo acts on the Lord's team. Amen. He sent them out 2 by 2. This is Mark 6 and 7 and Luke chapter 10, verse 1. The preacher who says pastors are not allowed to have friends and thus shuts himself off from colleagues in ministry has brought him to the lie from hell that causes him or her to deceive themselves and limit their ministry. While a pastor may choose to not have close friends among their own members, amen, that is the very reason for them to make friends with other pastors and ministers who serve the Lord well.
Mm-hmm.
Failing to do so limits them and hurts the kingdom work.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, they must have co-workers alongside them. Paul needed Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and many others. Read the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. Or in the words of Donald Trump, I Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and ask God to forgive you for trying to do the work alone. Having friends.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it. Because this,
means so much.
Okay.
Especially friends where you can let your hair down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and just act up and clown. And then talk about sermons and talk about what's really going on. And I ain't talking about, always talking about he or she, but I'm just talking about just sometimes we as pastors get tired of talking about church.
One of the things that I noticed since preaching is that when you are around, you need to be around other ministers.
Yes.
Sometimes. Because you need to know what they're experiencing so that your burdens don't become so overly so that they don't take over you and you think that you're in this thing alone.
Yes.
Because a lot of times it's like if you surround yourself only with church members and friends in the church, it's not that they aren't on your level. It's that they can't understand
exactly
what it is you're going through. So you do need to surround yourself with it's no different than basketball players who surround themselves with other basketball players.
Right.
And they have this little small circle of friends that they deal with because they understand the day to day. Yeah, they do. And it's necessary. That's, and you're right. You do need that room to say, can I take my collar off? Can I take my robe off for a minute and just have a conversation with you where we don't have to say, follow it up with, thus saith the Lord.
And Jesus said,
right.
And you're blaspheming.
Yeah.
And in the words of God, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
So, you're going to hell.
Right. But I'm just saying, so, I mean, because you mentioned that was one of the first things we talked about when you first came back to Chicago, that you did not have many associations when you got here.
Yeah, and doing better now.
Right.
But I think the whole thing about it is this, and because you need someone, I don't care what we say,
mm-hmm.
in preaching, you need someone to challenge your thinking
mm-hmm.
and challenge your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just that makes you more well-roundedness. I love when I go with the brothers and sisters, and I love when I go on campus
mm-hmm.
because I feel as though I'm going to be intrigued and my thinking is going to be uplifted.
And challenged.
Yes.
Pastor Wayne says you need accountability partners. Absolutely
yes.
You do.
Yes.
Now, here is the deal. I just don't want to hang out. It's one thing to hang out and have fun. But I also need you to, if you see me doing something, cover me up.
Yeah,
don't be like the other son of Noah and just look.
Laugh.
Right, and snicker. I need you to be like the other one and cover me up when you see me. Right, so. But right, but I'm just saying, you're absolutely right. You need those people to say, hey, look, man, look, Doc, I know it's bad, but you ain't got to do that.
In the words of L.K. Curry, for this reason, I left you. I left you in Crete.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I just, there. That's just so important. Having a friendship base and having people, and especially when you're pastoring, because there are things that you're trying to get across to the people.
Yeah.
That somebody else can come in and say the same thing, and they'd be like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, that I love when you get ministers to come in and give confirmation.
Yes.
I love ministers who come in and preach, and they preach something that you've been screaming at for years. And they come in 20 minutes and say the same thing,
like,
and the folk go crazy, and you look back and you just say, uh-huh.
Didn't I just say that?
Uh-huh. Okay. But, and again, they get your voice can get old.
Yes.
To some people. Sometimes your message will get lost in your voice because they'll say, oh, here he go fussing again.
Here he go talking about it again.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Let's keep it going, y'all. Let's keep it going. Number four says this. Doing a job by yourself is easier than enlisting and training someone else, but it's violating your calling. Oh, my God. He says, make disciples, said our Lord. The mandate calls for us to help people come into the kingdom, then nurture and grow them to the point they will know the word, can share the word, and can make disciples of others. Barnabas did not find it convenient to leave Antioch and travel to Tarsus to seek Saul, Acts 11:25. But in doing so, he connected the man called as an evangelist to the Gentiles with the opportunity of a lifetime. We are forever grateful to the best disciple maker in Scripture, Barnabas. Wow. Now, that's, I never even looked at it like that. That's huge.
Yeah.
Barnabas, had Barnabas said, you know what, I ain't got time for this.
Nope, I ain't got time for this.
Or as I heard some people say in church, I ain't got time for them Negroes.
Yeah, them colors.
Yeah. Had Barnabas said, I ain't got time for that, what would have happened with Paul?
It would have been so thing.
But he had to give of himself and say, you know what, I'm going to go out here anyway. Right, even though it's uncomfortable for me. Even though I know this man Saul of Tarsus is crazy.
Yes.
And might have me killed on sight.
Yeah. but I'm going because the Lord said so.
Yeah.
I'm preaching through the book of Acts right now, and I'm running up on, because Sunday I'm going to talk about the deacons, and talk about the, because one translation says, that find you seven men.
Of good report.
Of good report for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But one translation said, with good sense.
Ooh. 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 Oh, Lord.
With good sense.
Oh, Lord. With good sense.
With good sense.
Oh.
I mean, because, you know, common sense is not a flower that grows in everybody's garden. But good old common sense.
Yeah. Leslie Kelly says this. She says, the phrase reading is fundamental has never been wrong. Even reading from a magazine can pique your interest, and you'll find yourself digging for more information.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what you read. Just read.
Just read.
I like, yeah.
Yeah.
You and you do. You absolutely need to read. I think we, and especially ourselves, we as a people do ourselves so much harm
by not reading.
I think we put ourselves in bad positions, and we miss out on so many things because we refuse to read. And I was joking around the other day. We had somebody in our church who stood up at the end of the service. We know we do announcements at the end. And with the announcement clerk makes her announcements, and then unfortunately four or five people come behind her making announcements, which y'all pray. But the person got up and said that her mom, that she wanted prayer for her mother because her mother had been in the hospital because her mom, I believe, is a diabetic and something else was going on. She made this announcement. And so we're all sitting there like, you know, the room is like in shock, you know, looking like, well, you know. And it dawned on me, and I instantly said, okay, Dana, don't get mad, but you got to say something. So I went and grabbed the bulletin that we print out every Sunday, and I went to make sure it was in there. In our bulletin, it's in bold letter, and probably a little bit higher font. So everything is in 10. This is probably in 14. And it says in there, sick and bereavement line. It has a phone number. If you are sick or a family member is sick, or if you are in a moment of bereavement or someone has passed away, please call this number. This phone number actually rings to all of the ministers on staff at the church. It's a Google Voice number. I set it up myself. I know it works.
But watch this.
Nobody used it.
You want to know why?
because we don't read.
We don't read the bulletin at all.
So I said, So I took it upon myself. I said, everybody grab your bulletin. It's the end of church. Grab your bulletin. I said, follow me to the middle.
That's why they don't like you right
now. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. But I was right.
It's the truth, though.
And I said, grab your bulletin. And I said, turn with me to the middle of the bulletin, please. I said, now take your finger, go all the way down to the bottom in the big, bold black letters. I said, do you see where it says hospitalization and bereavement line?
Uh-huh.
I said, we don't know you sick, daddy sick, or mama sick unless you call.
Yes.
Now, this was no slight to her, but the thing was, folk will walk around the church, and in a lot of churches, and say, well, pastor or the preachers or nobody came to see me or my mama or auntie. Guess what, baby? We didn't know.
We didn't know.
So you got to be real, real careful when you do stuff like that, because if you don't use that and take advantage of it, then you know you're missing out.
They'll tell you, I'll read that bulletin. Where we got it from?
I joked the other day and I said I would love to put in the bulletin. The first 10 people, put it at the bottom of the bulletin, the first 10 people to bring this bulletin to and put a member's name next to it will receive a monetary reward, just to see
how many people would read it.
And I said, I walk out of here with the same money I came in here with.
But you got a couple of them now.
Right, right. But see, my fear is the person printing the bulletin will tell it, and I walk about here mad broke because the person printing the bulletin say, you make a phone call, y'all need to make sure y'all look at the bulletin on Sunday because he's going to get some money away. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep going. Number five.
All right. I can lead people to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
God did not send me to be a talker, but a doer.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Not as a coach only, but as a player coach.
Mm.
It is enough for the disciples to become like the teacher, said our Lord.
Yeah.
So as pastor and church leader, my job is to show them how, not just to tell them.
Yes.
Micromanaging.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good. And I'm believe it or not, I'm in the midst of that right now.
Yeah.
Of just showing people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had Miss Sylvia, who I love,
mm-hmm.
because I'm having Women's Month and Men's Month.
Mm-hmm.
What I
together?
No.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Okay, Women's Month, mm-hmm. And Men's Month, we separated. How
gotcha.
Was Men's Day, by the way? We'll talk about that.
It was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Women's Day, I told them to get them a crowd together and, you know, with this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, for Men's Month, well, I'm man, so I went in with Men's Month, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to do, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. And the ladies got upset with me, talking about, Pastor, wait a minute, that ain't fair that the Men's Month is already together, because see, you over there. But no, it's more women here than it is men. So why is it so difficult? The men, listen, we already got
right.
our speakers.
Right.
We said we're going to have a car show and a barbecue all.
Right.
We're going to watch the movie Fences.
Right.
We're going to go and help feed the hungry, this, that, and the
other. Right, right.
All right, let's go.
Uh-huh.
But the women... What kind of sockets we gonna wear? They gonna be purple. They gonna be blue. We gonna wear our hair. We gonna put butterflies in our hair.
Right.
Come on now.
It takes the path. I don't like, and this is something that I've always had an issue with. Don't talk about a ministry pastor if you ain't gonna go down there and help them get it together.
Yes.
Don't talk about how bad the evangelism team is if you don't show up down on a Saturday and go out there with them while they're doing what they're doing.
Exactly.
Don't criticize them if you're not going to actually put the work in.
Yes.
Because it's easy to sit behind. It's easy to sit on the bench or be Monday morning quarterback and say, man, now if I was doing it, I'd do it like this. Okay, well, do it.
Exactly. Here you go.
I don't want to. There's plenty of room, and so don't talk about not having hospitality when you don't show any yourself.
Amen.
Okay, let's keep going, y'all. Let me make sure I posted. Did I post five in there? Yes, I did. Okay, number six says this. Not only is it hard to get started tithing my income or sharing my faith and 100 other discipleship things. God likes it that way. I'm going to read that again.
Yes.
He says, not only is it hard to get started tithing my income or sharing my faith and 100 other discipleship things, God likes it that way. He says, watch the butterfly emerge from its chrysalis. He says, the struggle, we are told, is a necessary part of its development.
Yeah.
Only people of faith and determination will set out to learn to tithe and witness and understand the Bible, then stay with it until they are able to do it well. everyone else drops by the wayside, intending to wait until it's easy. In doing so, they're asking for and expecting what never was and never shall be. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Let me say this about the whole tithing thing. And I taught tithing here two years ago. Tanya, how long did that tithing thing last? 2 months, almost two and a half months. Pastor wanted me to teach tithing. I was like, okay, no problem. So we went and got the materials, and man, passed out binders on tithing. I think I gave you the tithing thing. Didn't know, was there something else I gave you? There was something else. But we taught on tithing. And one of the things I always used was the scenario of, you know, when you're only making $50,000 a year, mm-hmm. your tithe, if we're talking strictly your tithe, is $5,000, right? And you struggling to give that. Now the excuse would be, if I was making more, I would give more. Okay, so now all of a sudden, let's change that $50,000 to $500,000. Now that means if you got $500,000, you need to be writing at some point by the end of the year $50,000 check.
About $1,000 a week.
Okay, thank you. Just about. You're right. So right. You're right. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So here is the issue.
Instead of $100,000.
If you had a problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Paying $5,000 in tithe because of your management of your money.
Uh-huh.
Now, all of a sudden, you got $500,000 in income, and you can't get $50,000 out of that to God, to the Lord, to the Lord's house. Then something is wrong. So you can't say, well, when I have more, I'll give more.
And people say, I can't afford the tithe.
What? Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Now let me give you the prime example, because I know when my brother-in-law passing away,
uh-huh.
and he didn't have any insurance, a lot of my money that I had, I talked with the Lord about it. Listen, mm-hmm. Lord,
right.
the Lord, you know, gave me free pardons to do so. But I know that they're going to see me tithe, because I'm going to try twice a month,
mm-hmm.
sometimes three times,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give an offering. They're going to see me do it because it's the principle of the matter. Because we don't like to talk about tithing, so I've even changed it to giving.
Yeah.
I mean, just giving, period. Because some people feel, I don't need to be given nothing. Yeah, you need to give God something. Because you may be the same person that come, you know, my life's about to be turned off, and
mm-hmm.
my dad's about
mm-hmm.
to be turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Can the church do anything for me? And if we would be real mean if we said, well, what have you done for the church?
Mm.
So membership does have its privileges.
I think. The problem is that the piece on tithing, the giving, whether you want to call it tithing or giving,
yeah.
is not taught enough.
Yes,
and it's because it's taboo, because unfortunately there's been so many bad examples of church
yes.
leaders misusing folks' money,
yes.
and so it has a stigma behind
yes.
it.
Yes.
But that's why when you teach tithing, one of the first principles of the lesson that I was teaching was that tithing was not about money.
No. It's not.
It's not about money.
It's a discipline.
It's a covenant. And
yeah.
I'll give you this, and then we're gonna move on. Tithing is a covenant connector. What it does is it keeps you in covenant connection with God.
Yes.
If here is the deal. When the Bible says, when we like to read that scripture, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons, y'all know the scripture. Yeah, that one. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing that there shall not be. Okay. All right. Here's the deal. The windows of heaven. Let me give you a very good example. On this side of the room where we're on this side of the room where we are right now, Pastor Henderson, we have how many windows?
Three.
On this side, we have how many?
None.
Okay. Now, if I took a window from that side
yeah.
and put it on that side, what would happen?
That means I would be able to pull out more.
Okay, let me take it a little further.
I have two on this side, one on this side.
You'd be able to see
yes.
on what's on the other side.
Yes.
Because there's now a window there
yes.
that was not there before.
Yes.
That's what tithing does. Tithing opens up windows in areas that you, for one, could not see the first time.
I believe you till I preach.
I'm just saying. Come on, y'all.
Comment. I can see he's preaching to him.
Can I go a little further?
Go ahead now.
The purpose of God keeping his promise,
yes.
the purpose of him keeping his promise was because of the blood of Jesus, right?
Yes.
Jesus died so that he was the sacrifice. He gave of himself,
yes.
the best of himself, so that we would no longer have to be under the law,
yes.
right? Okay,
uh-huh.
fine. So watch this. When you keep covenant with God,
yes.
when you keep covenant with God, every time we get ready to, the time comes that we should be judged, and God wants to, quote unquote, open up the ark and allow judgment to go where he can go and grab the Ten Commandments and say, you broke that one.
Uh-huh.
What happens is this, because we're in covenant with him, the blood is there first. That's why the blood is over. I had to do that. I'm sorry. We back, y'all. I'm
no
sorry about
that. Part of
that I'm sorry. I had to share that.
In the words of Charles Nix, as we sing tonight, make up your mind to come to Jesus while you still have time. Don't put it off another moment, but come to Jesus.
Would you stop? Please stop. Please stop.
Y'all, he talked good now.
Please stop. Let's go. Number seven. Number seven, says, please.
God makes his leaders servants. Not bosses or lords or big shots.
Uh-oh.
I keep running into husbands who want to lord it over their wives because God made me the head of the home and told you to submit.
Mm-hmm.
Such men may call themselves believers, but they are pagan to the heart and have probably never been saved.
Wow.
They certainly do not know the first thing about God's word or Jesus' heart. If they did, they would know that they are sent as servants. Even so, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Mm.
Bullies on the playgrounds or dictators in the pulpit are cancer on the body. Good Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And must not be tolerated. The parable of all parables and on this subject is Luke chapter 7, verses 7 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
We must keep saying to ourselves, even when we have done everything Jesus required, I am only an unworthy servant, just doing my duty.
Wow. That's good.
That's real good.
That's good. Bullies on the playground or dictators in the pulpit are cancers on the body. I'm going to say this, bullies in the church, period.
Yes.
Bullies in the church, period, need to be checked. And I you can only go so far. This is why there's such disunity in the church, because people will leave churches because of bullies.
Yes.
And then because they're not strong enough in their faith, they will leave a church that God has assigned them to and then go sit somewhere else where God has not assigned them to and miss out on a whole lot of things,
right,
thereby causing confusion in the church they left and confusion in the church they
go to. But then they'll say, I'm leaving this church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go out here and leave, because when you go to another church, they've already got their policies and procedures already set.
Yep.
And trust me, there are some people down there who will tell you, oh, babe, we'll do this with that.
And it needs to be stopped. Now, one of the things I've always disliked is to hear a pastor or a minister from the pulpit decide he want to beat up on people based off of a conversation he had in the office.
And that's wrong.
And then you wonder why your folk won't come talk to you.
That's wrong.
You wonder why they won't come into your office and tell you and share information with you, because they're afraid it's going to be a sermon next week.
Right.
Or today.
I have a church meeting on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let the deacons know. Deacons, now listen, tomorrow, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about my servants tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I got good deacons, so I won't worry about that.
Right, right.
But then, but some sermons just hit home.
Sometimes conviction hit.
Oh my God!
Because trust me, it hit us when we preaching it.
Oh God, Jesus!
And writing it.
Yeah. When I read that thing and it said full of the Spirit and got good sense.
Uh huh. Yeah. You had to look at it again, huh? Right.
I said, good. I said they didn't read this right. Okay. Yeah.
Let's keep going. We're talking about bigness is overrated. 9 hard church leadership lessons. Number 8.
Yeah. The more righteous we are, the less we will be aware of it. Moses knew not that his face did shine. Exodus chapter 34:29. I said to the 75-year-old saint in our church, Marguerite, you are the most Christ-like person I know. She didn't flinch. Oh, honey.
Mm-hmm.
She said to her younger minister, if you only knew, I didn't know in a way, but have learned 100 times since. The closest to the Lord are the last to know it.
Wow.
The nearest to the light we get, the more imperfections, that's true, and blemishes, we will see.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of ever thinking you have arrived.
Yeah.
Let him or her who thinks that they stand take heed lest they fall.
Ooh, my God. Can I help somebody?
Help.
You ever had one of those mirrors in the house? You know, my mom used to have them, the makeup mirrors,
uh-huh.
And it was two-sided.
Yes, sir.
So the one side of the mirror was a regular mirror.
Yeah.
But the other side
was way up here.
Blew up your whole face. And you would see some stuff that you wouldn't normally see. Right. You start seeing, like, what is this in my, exactly. You see blemishes and blackheads and all of that kind of stuff. So here is the deal. I like what he said, and I guess I'd never paid this. This is good. This is a good teaching thing here. He says Moses knew not that his face did shine.
Yeah.
What everybody else saw in Moses, he did not see. Because when you get closer to God, as the writer says, you start to notice more of the wrong in you. Come on, somebody.
Yes, Lord.
When you start to get closer to God, you recognize, wait a minute, I got to get some, my stuff ain't right.
Together.
I still got some issues.
Yeah, because for example, if you looking around and somebody's smelling bad and you think.
Right.
Is it?
Right. You do that. Right.
Well, what's going on?
Uh-huh. So you know, it's different. It's different. It's no different than if you in the house cooking. And you cooked and you've been out, you know, like bacon. The smell of bacon is hard to get out the house.
Yes, Lord, it is.
But it's so good. But
it just lingers.
It just lingers. It just lingers, right? Any fried food, it just lingers.
And don't put no fish.
Right. So, but now, once you've been in the house, you no longer smell it.
Right.
But somebody else come in the door who are now when you cook the bacon. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what happens is we tend to forget because we're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
We don't recognize that it's something new to you.
Uh-huh.
So that's why when folk come to you, when you decide to take this Christian journey and your friends see you and they decide to come in and they start looking at you and say, well, you're acting different. And to you, you're not acting no different.
Same old way.
But they say, you look different. There's something different about you. Your countenance is different. There's a glow about you. There's something different about your demeanor. You don't notice it because you're thinking, I got so much work to do.
Well, you know what? I'm getting back on the horse yard. I got to lose some weight.
Oh, Lord. And, here we go.
Oh, no.
I'm listening.
I've done it, and I'll do it. I've done it before, and I would do it again. Well, you know, first of all, it's getting nice outside. I love to walk.
Okay.
That's my biggest thing.
That's good.
And
you're in a good area to walk.
Yes. And sometimes, when I lost weight before,
mm-hmm.
I didn't pay no attention to me losing weight.
The other folk did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until I put on some pants and hit the floor, I'm like... Lord, I love. How am I? Glory. Thank God, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, God. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for. Let me post 8 in the thing up here. Where is the comment? All right. Boom. Number 9 says this. Last one. It says, the Lord's servants who serve well are going to run into the buzzsaw of opposition from the naysayers, do nothings, status quo lovers, and carnal. That's no fun, but it's not all bad. This is what the writer says. He says, reading the mandate of the disciples in Matthew 10:1-16, he says, we cannot say we were not warned, but if it has ever been this way, we are swimming upstream in a downstream world. He says, Jesus prepared us for this by saying that whoever receives us is receiving him. Whoever listens to us is listening to him. And whoever rejects us is rejecting him. See Matthew 10:40 and Luke 10:16. If being treated like Jesus is not enough for us, we're in the wrong calling. Mm. Well,
it's the cause of discipleship.
Now, see, I read this often, having to deal with the people I have to deal with. Because if Jesus could take it, then hey, who am I to complain?
I guess they say he was a human yet to deny.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I promise you, I know the human side of him probably wanted to raise up quite a few times.
Well, according to some of the gospels that we did not have, that was not canonized.
The one that the Nicene, that the Council of Nicene put to the side. Yeah, Jesus was a little rough.
Yeah, Jesus, the gospel according to Thomas and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But some boy was messing with him. He told him, custom, and
right.
He died, and his mama said, bring him back life.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and see, we don't want to, I don't think that we want to really get this thing that Jesus was human.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
The only time we really saw his human side was when he was hungry.
And in the garden.
And in the garden.
Right.
And when he beat the people out of the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These were the thugs then.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, we don't, but see, I always reference back to the woman at the well.
Now, that one, you know what,
because,
that story, I talk about that story.
Because, see, that Jesus today, folks will be offended by him.
Very much so.
Folks will be offended by that Jesus because Jesus said, look here. He's like, what you? They ain't got nothing to do with nothing. He said, look here. You are not my you ain't my husband. What the one you with?
Ain't chosen.
Ain't nothing. Look, ain't nothing.
You've been married 5 times.
Wait, you've been right. You've been married 5 times and the one you with
ain't
your husband.
Now, you know, I've talked about that because I've got on people about, you know, dealing with her.
Uh-huh.
You know, I painted 2 scenarios.
The other side of it.
Yeah, the other side
of
it. So, but yeah, but I think, and some of the things that he said.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was harsh.
He called a woman a female dog.
Yeah, well.
Huh?
Huh?
It is not right to give the children's bread to the dog.
Yeah, he did. To the dog.
But she said even the dogs need to.
That she did. Right.
10.
Right, come on. Come on, number 10. Go for it. Read it again, please, because we're laughing. Thank you.
Right. Not only does the Lord allow his choice servants to suffer sometime, he even plans for that to happen. See Matthew chapter 10, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar can come to your revival, preacher.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is going to be needing someone to get arrested for preaching.
Mm.
Then, when the high and mighty ruler has decided on this case, he will order the saints in chains to tell us what you've been preaching.
Mm.
That's how it works with Paul, and that's in Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, and how it has been with his choice servants ever since.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul and Silas were falsely charged, then beaten and jailed, even though their backs were open wounds, and they were hungry, tired, and hurting. About midnight, they began to pray and sing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Acts 16:25. They're always listening and watching when God's people suffer unjustly. That's a fact when God uses to reach many for himself.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to suffer. No one volunteers to hurt. Because sometimes it's the only way.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. But sometimes it's the only way. And people ask this question, why? And this is where you have to be stronger in your faith to recognize God's sovereignty.
Yes.
Because people say, well, why would a God allow you to suffer? Why would this loving God that you talk about allow you to suffer?
God, right.
Yeah.
I hear that quite a bit. This loving God.
Yeah.
What God's faithful must never do is groan and bellyache saying, why me, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Your suffering may turn out to be the highest compliment the Father ever gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Early believers rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. That's true.
That's good.
I've got to talk about Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen preaches a whole from chapter 5 at the end. They couldn't throw him in because his face was shining.
Mm-hmm.
But he preaches a whole chapter that goes about 60-something verses.
Yeah, yeah.
Then afterward, they stole him, and he said, now, Lord, take care of me.
Right. And you have to think about it. It is a choice for us to take. It's a choice for us to follow the walk, but then it's also a privilege to be called to suffer.
Exactly. It's a privilege.
And that's a different way of looking at this thing.
Yeah.
It is a privilege to be called to suffer.
Yes.
So and people look at them like, what you talking about? So if you think about it this way, if you're going through some stuff right now, and the only purpose of going through it is to refine you for something better.
Yes.
So if you're going through something, count it as a privilege.
Yes.
Or as James says, we count it all joy.
Yes.
We count it all joy. So if you're going to go through this thing, recognize that, you know what? Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's hurtful. Yes, it's causing me all type of grief. But I count it as a privilege that God would choose me like he did Job.
Yes.
Not that I want what he did for Job. Now,
no.
I don't wish
no.
that on nobody.
No.
Because the people need to stop saying, I got the patience of Job. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because you don't want that.
No,
you don't want that. Oh my God. Look, y'all, this has been awesome. We apologize for the technical difficulties. I don't even came to tell y'all what was going on over here today, but I'm not gonna blame Blog Talk. I'm blaming Comcast today because that was on them. So it was good. So what you got going on, Doc? Bible study night.
Yeah, Bible study night. Bible study
night.
Then, morning worship. Not worship. Worship on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for right now. I'm trying to finish these papers. Y'all pretty much for me.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Look, y'all, it's been an awesome show. Pastor, you want to pray us out, sir?
Yes.
Thank you.
God of grace and God of glory, on that people, we ask you to pour your power. God, we ask you to grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of these days. Bless those who are listening. God, we ask now, God, that you would touch Pastor Parks during his time, his mother's time of bereavement.
Mm-hmm.
Look upon us, God, with compassion. And God, please hear us when we cry. Bless our city, bless our state, bless our nation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been great. We got to go, man. Look, we will see y'all on Friday, Praise Break Friday. We will be back. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Gotta go. Peace. Keep your head on the swivel.
Your word that you've been waiting for all night. Darwin, where are you? How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask for things? Call into the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for, according to the power that worketh in upon God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
How many believe it tonight?
Yeah.
He's able.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, y'all, I need y'all to help me sing. God.